Amen.
Sei. Ora, Oma. Jo, hè? Is dit steur my se hart as die kinders saved raak, né? Nee?
Ja.
En kan ons se reël as 'n huis sê dat ons gaan nooit weer rejoice so nie. Asseblief nie. As mense tot redding kom, is 'n wonderwerk. That we rejoice with heaven. Reg? Partykeer ons Afrikaner kultuur is mooi, mooi, dankie. En die Here sê nie shout for joy all you extroverts nie. Kan ek 'n amen kry van al die introverts? Sê shout for joy. All the people, extroverts, introverts, doesn't matter. You shout for joy. We rejoice with heaven when God brings people into the kingdom. So, Lord, we just thank you for it. We bless your name, Father. And Lord, we want to pray and ask, Lord, may this be first fruits, Lord, of a harvest that must come into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. You are our Savior, our Redeemer, Lord, our Deliverer. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Wow. I see you guys are waving the bags. You can take up the offering and we're going to continue. Sure. Thank you, Tendai, and thank you, Derek. Thank you, band. Thank you for everybody that served this morning and yesterday afternoon and came to help us. I prepared in English today, so Lord bless my English. Next week, I'm going to do in Afrikaans. So if I miss something here or there, please forgive me. I almost sense in my heart that the Lord is doing almost like a realignment this morning, if I can call it that. And it's amazing that Scripture says that the Lord's Word goes out and it will not return void to Him. So if our hearts are receptive to His Word and to His Spirit, and He's already started His work today, right, through worship and stuff. It's just amazing. If we are receptive to Him, His Word will accomplish in your life what He destines it to accomplish today, if we are willing. The only thing we ask for is, Lord, I'm hungry and I'm ready and I'm open for what You want to do in my life. His Word will not return void to Him. It will accomplish in you. So I just want to encourage us just to sit and listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you and receive that. And then let Him work it in you. We can many times try and force God's Word in us and through us. He's the potter. We must just allow Him to mold, right? We must allow Him to mold. So we just trust Him that today He will mold us. Wow. My notas is baie die mekaar. So we'll see where we go and where we end, and there's so much going on. And I'm just so encouraged by the testimony of the kids, you know. And I don't know if you can remember, and even when you look at your own kids, and if you can think back, way back, when you were a child, the way children dreamt. You know, can you remember my first, when, you know, when you say, I want to be a firefighter or a policeman, my first occupation dream was to be a thief. So, luckily Jesus found me. But that, it just always looked so nice. These heist movies, you know, and somebody goes in and they steal all this money, and it just looked lekker. But I was unsaved at that stage. But just had this dream, you know, and kids, you know, I want to become an astronaut, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And it's so beautiful for the kids that nothing limits them. In their minds, nothing limits them. And the amount of faith they exert in us as just their parents, they really believe they can be anything they want to be. You know, and then after a while, you know, time goes and it's beautiful. And I just hear the challenge from the Lord is that we must start becoming like children again in our faith and in our hope and even in our dreaming. Because after a while, you know, we all grow up and we enter the real world. Die groot mens wêreld. And then we enter the world of statistics. That will probably tell you, listen, 1 out of 42 million people will become an astronaut. I don't think you're going to be there. Now, I'm not trying to be unrealistic. I'm just saying that as time goes by, the limitations of this world and the limitations of tradition and the limitations of being politically correct, and the limitations of what is socially acceptable and not, and culture, and what money can buy, and my bank account for my kids, and all these things start working in on this little child's dream. And to a certain extent, it cuts it down to size. Do you know what I mean? Right? And all these things that you have in your heart, you are discouraged now, and no, it's not possible anymore. You know, I had this dream of becoming this. I felt the Lord call me to that, but that's not realistic. I cannot make a life out of that. I cannot pay the bills out of that. I won't support a family out of that. And all of these things start cutting away at what we have inside of us. And, you know, many times I look at Christians, and the same happens with calling. And the same happens with prophetic words that the Lord places in our lives and in our hearts. And just after a while, everything starts cutting down, and it cuts it down to size. And after a while, we climb into this religious box where everything is safe. And, you know, we become nominal Christians, just going to church on Sunday because I don't want to feel guilty. You know, just giving something because not out of the joy of what God has given me, but just not to feel guilty. Just scraping by, just doing enough. And to a certain extent, if we get to that place, repentance is needed. That we allowed the world, tradition, my bank account, the limitations I put on God, all these things, that we allowed that to cut what God has placed inside of us in terms of calling and dreams and all these things, that we allowed that to be cut down to size, to a place where I'm comfortable with it. I can control it. Other people are comfortable with it. They can control me and in my calling. And I just sense that the Lord is wanting to realign us out of that place with Himself, in the place where we can dream again with Him, can be called again with Him, to renew a sense of calling in each of our lives here. Because all of us have been called. All of us have been called. And I just want to share a few thoughts on calling this morning with you. And next week we're going to talk a little bit more about it and around the processes of coming to that place. And I'm just sensing that in this time where God is calling us to be an expression of the unity that we are already part of with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it is so important for each one of us to understand the sense of call. It's like for a rugby team, any sport team, any in any war, the game can only be won and the war can only be won if each person in the team and each person in the army is placed in the position that they have been called to. Only then can we win. I don't want to go to war when the guy that should be next to me is not there. He's wandering off doing other stuff, but he's actually called to be here. It's only then that we can win, and it's only then we can truly be an expression of the unity that we are in with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God made you to be you, so please do never try and be somebody else. God has called you to a specific place. Don't try and imitate other people's calling. I just sense that the Lord is wanting to show each one of us the place that He has ordained for each one of us to stand in, to live in, and to walk in. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, Jan blessed me with a statement. He said, you know, Scripture says many are called, but few are chosen. So today we're going to start with calling, but like he said, between calling and chosen is process. And that is equally important, right? The preparation for me to step into exactly what the Lord has called me to. But process and preparation is never for nothing. It is never wasted. Never. Never, 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 never. Okay, so we're going to speak about that a bit more next week. But today, I'm just sensing the Lord is wanting to realign us with a sense of call and purpose that He has called each one of us. And I just sense that many of us needs to choose again this morning to follow Jesus, to allow the Lord to reawaken what He has put inside of each one of us. And we all know nominal Christianity. We all have been there. That's just going through the motions. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no sense of righteousness. There's no sense of intimacy with Jesus Christ. But I just feel the Lord is calling us to Himself to realign us with Him. Calling you, firstly, into identity with Christ, but then also calling you for function. We are called for function. We are called to Christ. We are called in Christ. And Christ gives us something to go and do. Amen? How boring life would be if we had nothing to do. Christ gives us something. And it's so important for us as a family, as a house. That is why we place a high value on serving. For each one of us to stand in the position that you have been called to. Right? This is why we place a big value on membership as well. Because we want to see who's in the team. Because we want to play together, right? This is important to us. I want to know who's on my team, right? Don't want a streaker running around in the, you know, obstructing the game all the time. And with the testimonies this morning, I'm just, you can open your Bibles at Romans 8 so long. With the stories this morning, you know, our stories come out of the process. That is where stories emerge, out of the process of life, the process the Lord takes us on to the road of us fulfilling our calling. So I'm just going to share a few thoughts with you on this. We're not going to be long, and then we're just going to pray for one another and trust the Lord to reawaken and to resurrect to a certain extent the things that He has placed inside of us that have died over the years. Just left and cut down to size by everything and all the limitations of this world. I want to begin with trust in your calling. Your calling is not something you awaken yourself. It is something that is given to you. It is something Christ will work out. He will take you to the end destination. Okay? So within this, there's a massive trusting. So you can put this all in the bowl of trust. In the end of Psalm 84, it's my favorite verse in the Bible. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. So with your calling, for that, for the sense of purpose, for the sense of calling that you have, it is in this bowl of trust. When I say sense of calling, do you understand what I'm saying? It's difficult to explain it, and I'll get there in a while. Trust Jesus for this. Let's just read Romans 8:28, and then we work from there. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purposes. This is almost what I like about this is this verse is almost sounds like a household word. And we know. Kom nou, almal weet. We know. And it was almost a sense that in the early church was aware of this thing that the God that gave His only Son, right, did not spare His only Son, He gave His only Son to save me. He will be faithful in guiding my ways to the end destination that He has predestined for me on this earth. It was rested in this trust, and we know. Christ, the Father that gave His only Son, if He was faithful in that, He will be faithful in guiding your steps and your ways to get to the end result of what He has called each one of us to be in. So we're going to start in the end. So it's almost like a household word. It's in the trust of the Lord. We can know that God will guide us because He sent His Son. That is ultimate, right? Now, let's just skip. We're going to come to the middle part in just a while. When it comes to your calling and when it comes to your dream, it is so important for us in the body of Christ to understand it is not your dream. It is not your call. It is not your idea. To whose purposes are we called? Listen very carefully. Your call will only make sense in the purposes of Christ, nowhere else. If we work only for money, work will become senseless. That's the end result of it. Why? Because money just does not satisfy. It's the same for everything we do. It is the purposes of Christ where calling makes sense. Now, can I tell you where calling makes, your calling will be the clearest ever. I don't know if you can remember the day you were born again when you gave your life to Christ. That sense that you had in your heart that you are called for more than this, for more than what you are experiencing right now. Can you relate with that? Just a sense that, Lord, what I'm seeing now, what I'm sensing now, and what I'm experiencing of this life in this world, I just have an overwhelming sense that there's more than this. And I've been called to more than this. I've been called to be greater than only this. And if I speak about calling today, that is the sense of call that I'm speaking about. Okay, there's some of us that will be called to full-time ministry. There's some in vocationally, and there's some of us that will be called to be full-time a teacher, to be full-time a engineer, whatever it might be. But it is always for the purposes of Christ that we receive the call. And if I'm saying I'm trusting the Lord to resurrect our call, it is that the sense that we have been placed here for more than this. More than this. And I think when as life goes on, you know, there's moments where we realize this again. You know, when people die, when we have near-death experiences, these kind of stuff, when people close to us suffer, you have the sense of what really is important. You understand what I'm saying? We're so overcome with busyness, so overcome with anxiety, with how am I going to provide, and money, and all these things. And then these stuff happen in our life, and it's these moments that stop us. And we say, well, what is really important in life? Then these things become clear in those moments. In suffering, it becomes clear that God is most important, right? My marriage, my family, the body of Jesus Christ. In those moments, it's so easy to prioritize our lives. And it's not long. We all know the pressure of busyness and all these things. And it's not long. And we're in the thing again and going on. But we're called according to His purposes. Your calling will be the clearest to you when you are fully surrendered to Jesus Christ. And that is so beautiful, being born again. That is the moment of being so fully committed to Christ, so given over to Him. You know, it's that place you say, Lord, whenever, whatever, you just say the word and I'm off. You just totally surrendered to Jesus Christ. If your call has become blurry, go to this place and say, Lord, am I totally surrendered to You in all aspects of my life or not? Our call becomes blurry when our desires are tainted with idolatry, guys. It becomes blurry to us. I'm not sure anymore. Because the idols in my heart, the desires, I mean, look at the parable of the sower. What is the thorns and the thistles? It's the riches of this world, there's the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world. Paul says again, you know, be like a soldier. Don't be sucked in with all these civilian affairs. Why? Because it to a certain extent, it blurs our vision for what God has called us to do and who God has called us to be. Does this make sense to you? Can you relate with this? Right? The sense of call, the sense that I have been placed here for something. God has called me and ordained me for something. And my heart's desire is for each of us to pursue that something. You know, when I got saved, I didn't know what I was called for. But I had a sense of call. Does that make sense to you? I just have a sense. It's okay not to know yet. Okay? God will reveal. But for us, it's important to protect that what the Lord has given us and to steward that, and especially the sense of call. Otherwise, it's so easy we become a church body that we just hear on Sunday and we go away and life goes on. And I'm like, no, this is life. We are called to this place, to this family, to fulfill a role in this family and to be a part of the expression of Christ. Without you and without you in your position, the expression is not complete. Okay? So we need everybody in that place. But, okay? So important. So remember this. Your call will be most clear to you when you are totally surrendered to Jesus Christ. Totally surrendered to Him. Because He's the one that gives you the call. Amen? And your call will always be to His purposes. It's in that we receive this, okay? Your call will become blurry when your desires become tainted with idolatry. Okay? But now, you all know, who of you know that life happens? It just happens. Stuff happens, right? And we don't always ask for it. It just happens. Life happens with us. And again, we are at this place of trust. Now, this is an amazing encouragement for us on our journey to walk in the fulfillment of what God has called each one of us. He says, for those who love God, all things work together for good. Isn't that massive encouragement for you? It doesn't matter if you can control your circumstances or not, or something, you know, hits you from the side. He says, for those who love God, all things work together for good. So what are we called to do? We're called to the first commandment. Love the Lord with all your heart. Listen, if your circumstances are crazy, what should you be doing? Turn yourself to love God. Love Him with all your heart. Because it's in these difficult situations that I can become bitter, offended, all these kind of stuff, and again, our vision becomes blurry. And He says, listen, what I'm asking you to do is to love Me with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That is what I'm asking you. What I will do is I will work in your circumstances and I will make it, the outcome of that, beneficial for you. I will make it good. Okay, now what is good then? That's a good question, right? What is good? To come out of the fire for your situation, just to be better? Just Lord, just the financial, just lift the financial pressure. Is that what you mean when you say good? Father, just to reconcile all the relationships. And yes, to some extent that will happen. But when He says He will work everything for good, if you read verse 29, He defines the good. And you know what is the good? It's to shape us into the image and in the likeness of Jesus Christ, His Son. Wow. I've heard it said so many times, and it's so true. God isn't really interested in my comfort, and He's not interested in our comfort. So one of the traps of the enemy is to entrap us so much in our situation that our situation consumes us to such a extent that we really stop. You can go back to Romans for me, please. 28. Yeah, just stay there. He consumes us so much with our circumstances, and then He starts sowing doubt, and it's like, Lord, I can't see anymore. I don't know anymore. You know, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Stop. Turn your heart to the Lord, total surrender, and you love the Lord by giving Him your life. He will work this, and He will conform us to the image and the likeness of His Son, right? Isn't this a massive place of rest for us? If a lot of us are facing difficult situations, a lot of us has a lot of questions, don't ponder on the whys and these questions. You ponder on this truth, that if I love the Lord, He will work this together. It will become good. The Lord will shape me into what He has called me to be, and He will shape me into the image of Jesus Christ so that I can be an expression of Him on this earth. What are we called to? Ambassadors. Our character, man, the Lord. And you know this, right? We've said this so many times, Lord, just remove, you know, Lord, give me passion for this person and whatnot. And the next morning, this person that irritates you the most at work will walk into office. And just doesn't work like this. It is taught. And the process of molding is a process that we need to commit ourselves to. Guys, salvation that we are called to is not something that happened in your distant past that does not have any effect on you today. It's a living and it's ongoing. And God, I'm telling you, has got his hand on us at this moment. The Father, as a gardener, is with us at this moment, right? To plant, to replant, to prune. He's preparing us for fruit, right? So when Paul writes Romans 8:28, he's got an Old Testament verse in mind. It's found in Genesis 50. I don't think it's on the board. You can turn your Bibles there. Genesis 50, verse 20. And he's got the story of Joseph in mind. Right? Because, you know, many times these scriptures become difficult to believe when we look at this world and we see all the horrific things happening. And, you know, the question comes up, but how can a loving God allow things like this to happen? And how can this be? How can he work? How can he possibly work this together for good if I look at my circumstances? And Genesis 50 verse 20, Paul says, or Joseph says, as for you, he's speaking to his brother, you planned evil against me, but God planned it for good. In order to do this, to keep many people alive as it is today. I mean, he had the bad end of his story is like crazy, right? Joseph just sold by his own family, you know, in slavery, in false accusations, in prison, and all these things. And he says, listen, you planned this for evil, but God chose this for good. Five chapters earlier in Genesis 45 verse 8, listen to this. He says, you yourself did not send me here. Listen to this. But God put me here as father to Pharaoh and as a master of all his household and a ruler over all the land of Egypt. Joseph says to his brothers, listen, you didn't put me here. But his brothers were the ones who sold him into slavery. So there's two wills going on here. It is the evil will of Joseph's brothers, and then there's the will of God. Yes, we prayed this morning. Do you know that the Lord holds in his hands the hearts of the kings of this world? He hardened Pharaoh's heart. He can soften any heart. He can use any situation. It does not mean if the will of man was evil in that, God is greater than the evil will of man, and he can intervene in our circumstances to work it for good. What is he asking us to do? To love him, to abide in him, and he will do the work, right? Why do God allow evil? Why don't God do anything about evil out of a Christian perspective? The cross is the answer to this question. It's amazing that the Lord does not only empathize with our suffering, but he came into this world to become a part of our suffering. There is no situation that Christ does not understand in our difficulties. He understands it all, right? He understands it all. God ordained Christ to temporarily suffer to save us from eternal suffering, right? We've got Easter weekend coming up. Do we call it Bad Friday? Why do we call it Good Friday? Believe me, when the disciples, when Jesus was crucified, it was Bad Sunday, or Bad Friday, because there was no hope, nothing. But now, in retrospect, we look back at it, and we know, out of that little bit of suffering, out of that, what Christ went through for us, his death and everything, what do we know? He was resurrected. Out of that evil and suffering, temporarily came ultimate and eternal good. Came out of that, right? Just listen to these scriptures. Philippians 1 verse 29, it says, to you has been graciously granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him but also to suffer on behalf of Him. All those who want to live in a godly manner in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12. Jesus Himself saying, in this world you will have affliction. So who of you are having affliction? It's scriptural, right? It's scriptural. But what did Jesus also say? Take heart, I have overcome this world. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus Christ. He is trustworthy within our suffering and within our pain and within all the questions. And He is good to work everything for good for those who trust Him, love Him, and are called to His purposes. Called to His purposes. So many times I see people suffer and they don't understand what is happening, why. My first question, are we still in the purposes of Christ? Or have we missed Jesus somewhere? Now, listen, I'm going to tell you my testimony. I had the sense of call, but I went off the rails big time, okay? And you know the amazing grace of Jesus? He brought me and he brought me to the place where He wanted me to be. In the midst of my faults, I had these moments, you know, if you go with a GPS, you've got a begin and you've got an end destination. And when you take a wrong turn, okay, the voice irritates you all the time. And then after a while, the voice becomes silent. And then at the right turn, to get you, the GPS redirects you to get on the right path. You might take another route, but He takes you to the end destination. And many times our lives, because of the choices we make, we take detours that is not necessarily, you know, God's plan, but He works that together for good for us as He trains us and teaches us. But God is very good to get us to the end result. He's very good at that. Joseph could not force his hand into the palace. It was God's work. It was His work. It was His trusting in the Lord. His surrender, even to this process of being a slave, being in jail. Did it make sense? Obviously not. Does our suffering always make sense? Obviously not. Job said, listen, Job was at a space where he said, it would have been better that I would not have been born. And then in the end, he says, my ears have heard about you, but now my eyes have seen you. You are the Lord. You work it together for good. So I want to encourage us this morning, whatever you're going through, whatever your circumstances, Christ knows and is very good at working everything together for good for those who firstly love Him and are totally surrendered to Him. So guys, I want to invite us to the song that we sang this morning, so beautiful, I've decided to follow Jesus. It's just that. It's within in that total surrender that Jesus comes and He awakens the sense of call. The sense that I've been called to more than this. The sense to of what He has placed inside of me. Does that make any sense to you guys? Okay? I hope so. Just going to read you a few scriptures so you can just sit back and listen to them. I think they're going to be on the board as well. You can move along to Romans 11:29. Just going to read them and then we're going to end off in prophetic dancing. Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 4:4-6, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. This is important for us to understand. Your call is not about you. Your call is not about you and it's not about your name. It is about the body of Christ and the purposes of Christ. And if we are not ready to lay down that, we will really struggle to be an expression of the unity between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It is not about us running around lone rangers with our own ministries and everything. This is Christ. Christ builds His body. And it's us coming together in His body to celebrate that, right? We have one call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, we exhorted each one of you and encourage you and charge you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. 2 Timothy 1:9, who saved us and called us to a holy calling. You are called to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purposes and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You have been called, each one of us. You have been called as an individual. We have been called corporately to be a part of the body of Christ and express something of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Each one according to the purposes of Christ. Can we make it happen? No, we cannot. What must you do? You must submit to it. You must surrender to what God has placed inside of you. And then we must surrender to the process and trust the Lord to take us to that place where he will exalt, that he will speak. Does that make sense? Love God with all your heart and with all your mind. You know what is amazing about Stephen for me? Stephen is the greatest evangelist that Acts speaks about. And where did he start? He started waiting tables. Man, if I tell you, if it comes to your call, the place where this starts for me is in humility. Lord, can I be faithful over a chair? Do I want my name seen, heard about me, saying that I am great? Or may we all, in humility, let the testimony of this town, the testimony of our friends, the testimony of your work would be that Christ is great. He has done a great work in us and through us, that his name may be glorified and not our own. When Paul says that we are called to his purposes, it is amazing that the language that he uses is of somebody that is invited. Almost say Jesus invites you and then he gives you something. The call is given to you by Christ for you to go and steward and walk out. Isn't that amazing? You have received a gift, a calling from Christ, to be an expression of who he is in this world, together with your brothers and sisters, as one in the unity of the body of Christ. Can we stand, please? You know, can the band come up for us, please? I think half of them are in the mother's room. If you want to be in the band, you're not allowed to have more than 4 children. Just a joke. You know, at the end of the day, the product of your call will be the outworking of the Holy Spirit in your life. The product of your call will be the outworking of the Holy Spirit in your life. And my encouragement today for us as a family is that the Lord is saying, whatever situation you are in, whatever, he's greater and he will work it. He will work in that for the good. He will shape you and He is good. He will take you to the end destination. You can trust him fully for that. And as you trust him and as you surrender to him and as the Lord just rids us of the idolatry in our hearts so that our call might become clear, the Holy Spirit will work and the product of that will be your surrender. And he will work that out in your life and through your life, man. Isn't God good? I want to encourage us with this. And we know, may this become a household word in this house, that we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purposes. Father, it just seems that You want to realign us again with the call of Jesus Christ, Lord. That You want to awaken again Your dreams in our hearts, Lord, and Your call in our hearts, Father. And we want to say thank You for that, Father God. Thank You for that call, Lord. Just to reignite what You have placed inside of us, Father. Just to reignite again, Lord. Just to reignite again. Just to reignite. Father, we trust You fully, that You are the one that will work this in us and through us, Father God. And Lord, I pray that even within our difficult situations and even within the circumstances that You use to mold us, Father, that joy, the joy of Your salvation will be ours, Father God. The peace that You give, not as the world gives, but as You give from heaven, Lord, will be the peace that manifests in our hearts and in our minds, Lord. And that the righteousness of Christ, not the righteousness that we work out ourselves, but Your righteousness may be manifest in our hearts and in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Man, we're going to end off with a song, and I just want to give an invitation to anybody who wants to choose Jesus again, and anybody that know that the sense of your call has been dampened, and it's been just cut down to size, and it's been choked to a certain extent by the real world, die groot mens wêreld, what is possible, what is not possible, about the statistics and all these things that have reshaped your own dreams and your own calling, the things that God has placed inside of you. And I just really sense that the Lord is wanting to resurrect what He has placed inside of each one of us. So I want to invite you just to come forward, and we're just going to end off with a song, and we're going to trust Jesus. You can speak to Him, you can have time with Him, but for Him to come as the resurrected Christ, to resurrect again the things that are inside of us and inside of you. So I want to invite you to come forward. We're just going to worship together in front. Come on, guys. Can you say, are you all walking in your callings? Who of you has a sense that the Lord has called you and you know it, but it has died along the way? There's some of you that don't even have a sense of calling, and it's nothing shameful to come into the front. We're just going to stand here and we're going to worship Jesus together, and we're going to trust Him to resurrect again the sense that He has called you to Himself and for something, to be an expression of who He is in this world, to be an expression of who He is in your workplace and in your marriage and as a father and as a mother and as a part of being just a part of Jesus Christ and His body, man. Isn't this good? And His promise to each one of us is that He will work whatever situation you are in, He will work it. He will work inside of that. He's so trustworthy. He's so trustworthy for this, Lord. Thank You, Father.
While Niels was speaking, it's a wonderful word. And it struck me there are two words in the Bible that's connected to calling. It's an upward call. It's an upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So it calls us beyond where we are. It calls us up. This is an upgrade. This is not downgrading. This is upgrading us. And the second one is what Paul calls about the hope of his calling. There's a hope in this calling. So if you're feeling hopeless, I want to tap into this word. Tap in, mix this word with faith and say, God, restore hope of your call in my life, God.